We're going to be in the book of Genesis today, in Genesis chapter 22. Just diverted from Isaiah for today, and this is a passage that I had the privilege of being in this week in my personal devotions, and sometimes that is what you get as a sermon. And I think that's special because it's it's an outpouring of what God is teaching me. And I'm just a human being just like the rest of you. Just somebody that's learning and growing right along with you. And I hope that you pour out what God's teaching you throughout the week in the various different conversations that you may have with various different people. Maybe you don't have a platform like I have, but you do have a platform, an opportunity to share what God is teaching you in your life. In Genesis chapter 22, there is this scene that unfolds that in many ways is uncomfortable for us. It's a scene that we have a very difficult time making sense of it because God asks Abraham, and in fact instructs Abraham, to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. Now, to some, they may read this that aren't familiar with the Bible and what God has done in instructing Abraham. They might say, "What, Christian? You believe in child sacrifices?" No, we don't. And just to clarify, we don't. And neither does God. God does not promote this. Well, so then what is God doing here? What is happening here in this account? To be clear and to kind of wrap it up in a very succinct way, God is proving Abraham's faith. There is an evidence that we are seeing here in this passage that indeed Abraham is following God, that God has worked in his life. To be fair to the scriptures, this story really begins back in chapter 12, but we're not going to read all of those passages, but I just want to review with you, if you want to page through and see what I'm sharing, feel free to follow along. But in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram out of Ur up to Haran and then down into Canaan. God tells him, I want you to come to this place. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you seed that is many children and blessing. Through you, Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so the journey of Abram's faith begins with God initiating. And God initiates this. I want you to understand and realize something, that our journey of faith is something that is initiated by God. And God, just like he called forth Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, wasn't because he was some special person. It's because God chose to show him grace. So God calls forth Abram, and God blesses him and brings him to this land. God promises to Abraham a son. Now, Abraham is old. His wife Sarah is old, and she is past childbearing years. And so Abraham is wondering, and this is a challenging thought, how is this going to happen? In chapter 15, God confronts Abram right where he is, and this is one of the precious things about our God. He's patient and compassionate with us, even when we don't get the whole picture. And he tells Abram again that you will have a child. If you're looking at Genesis 15, look at verse 4. this shall not be your heir, your servant, but you shall come an heir shall come forth out of your own bowels. He shall be your heir. And in verse 6 is a very important verse if you're studying Abraham's life. Genesis 15:6 says this, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him, that is, the Lord counted it to Abraham for righteousness. There is a common belief that righteousness can be earned. But I tell you, from the very beginning of the Bible, it is clear and apparent that righteousness becomes ours as a result of believing God. And this right here sets the stage for us as Moses, who is writing this, unwraps God's covenant and promises to Abraham that really set the stage for the rest of human history. And so we see that Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now, we know Abraham believed that the baby was going to come, that the promised son was going to come from his bowels, but we see some faltering in his faith because Sarah says, I can't bear you a child. Here's my handmaid, Hagar. And so you understand, I think most of us, we might know the story of how Abraham, he went in unto Hagar and she bore him a son, and his son's name, and they named him Ishmael. Well, very soon thereafter, it was readily apparent that Ishmael was not the promised one. Now, God did bless Ishmael because he was of Abraham, but God said, no, Ishmael is not the promised child. The promised child will be born of Sarah. You might remember what it says in chapter 18. The Lord appears to Abraham and he tells Abraham that Sarah is going to have a baby. Sarah is in the tent, and when she hears this, she laughs. How can this be? Verse 13 of chapter 18, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And in verse 14 says this, key phrase, is anything too hard for the Lord? This question posed to Abraham by the angel of the Lord, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he says, at the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham and Sarah they're confronted with some physical impossibilities. Some things that they just don't understand. Abraham, go to this place. God didn't even tell him what place until he was there. Abraham, you're going to have, through your seed, all the nations, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, Abraham's already old. His wife is old. So how in the world, through him, can the world be blessed? He can't have any children. Are you ever faced with some impossibilities? Are you ever faced with things that are just too hard? Confronted with things right in your life and in your face that just breathe, this can't be done. This is over. Yeah. I face those. I dare say each of us have or will or are facing those kinds of things in our life. And so the question that is posed here to Abraham and to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? What is the answer to that question? Now, we sit here today and we say, nothing, right? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. But I want to ask you a question. Why are you so confident in that answer? Why were you so quick to say nothing is too hard for the Lord? Such an answer only comes to you and to your heart and your mind based on your understanding of how big and great your God is. You understand that, right? We're teaching our children, our young ones, right, parents? We're teaching our children about our great God. Why? Because when they encounter hard things in life, they have a God they can lean on and know that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So we have Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and God counted, put it on his account as righteousness. We have this phrase, nothing, is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? We know that God does bless Sarah's womb, that God does give them a child. His name, young people, was what? Isaac. Who knows what Isaac means? Names have meanings. So what does Isaac mean? Anybody? Go ahead, Levi.
Laughter,
right? And it's almost a twofold meaning for Sarah, right? It's a reminder how Terah had laughed at God and what he says will happen. And then on the flip side, praise be to God for his mercy and his kindness and his goodness to me that brings pleasure into a lady who has passed childbearing years and allows me to have a baby. Laughter. Well, we aren't told in chapter 22 how old Isaac is. That detail is not given. The only thing I can tell you from reading this account is Isaac is old enough to carry the wood. So that could be what, 10 at the youngest? Of course, there's probably some 8-year-olds in here that said, hey, come on. I can carry wood. Obviously, the age of Isaac is not important. Otherwise, it would be given. So let's look at the text. Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or you could say test, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him. And took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place or unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. If you're like me, you're like, this is an uncomfortable place, isn't it? Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Wow, what a ride we take in our hearts and our emotions in this passage of Scripture. Don't ever say that the Bible is boring, although I know that there are places that are hard to read. But God captures us so often with what He has done in the hearts and the lives of people, because He wants us to be captured with Himself. Yes, it is true that God is proving here, testing Abraham. Now, you might say, well, why would God do that? And I believe, as we think about this, that I think this proving is more for Abraham and for us than it is for God. I mean, we know and understand that God knows all things, doesn't He? God understands and knew exactly what was going to happen and what has happened in Abraham's life. But accounts such as these are extremely challenging and helpful to you and I, people that live on this earth just like Abraham and face challenging things in life. There is a proving here of his faith. I want you to notice there are three times in this text that Abraham responds to a call. The first call in chapter 22 and verse 1, God calls unto Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham responds, Behold, here I am. God here is initiating this with Abraham. This whole episode is not Abraham's idea, it's God's. It's God's idea. This was God initiating this. And so it's seen in the text that God calls out to Abraham. And what does Abraham say? Behold, here I am. Moses, who wrote this, records for us what God tells Abraham. We just read it and we understand he was to take his son. But you notice the qualification that's given in verse 2 of his son. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac. We know Abraham had Ishmael. But it is very clear that we see God saying, Isaac is the promised one. They are to go to the land of Moriah. Scholars believe that Moriah is very likely the very place that God chose to place the building of the temple. Isn't it interesting? At the very place that God calls his people to worship him, so he first called Abraham. What is interesting also is that he tells him to take his son for and offer him for a burnt offering there on one of the mountains, but he says, I will tell you of it. Abraham, again, is to go to a place he does not know. Have you ever been in that point where you know you're supposed to take the steps and go forward, but you don't know what the end looks like? Anybody been there? I think you're being bashful. I find myself there so often. And I got to tell you, it's an uncomfortable place to be so often for me. So we see Abraham, he rises up, they head out, they have everything they need. The third day, they see the place, Abraham leaves the servants, and it's only Abraham and Isaac that proceed up to the mountaintop. The details of the text are very clear. They have the wood for the burnt offering in verse 6. Isaac carries that. Abraham takes the fire and a knife. They go up together. So remember, there's three times that that Abraham responds. The first was a response to God initiating this journey of faith. The second is a call from his very son. Verse 7 of Genesis chapter 22, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And Abraham said, Here am I, my son. Abraham again responds to the call. But this time, this call does not come from God. This call comes from his son. From his son, who's old enough to carry wood, who's old enough to understand what is necessary for a sacrifice. A young man who understands, who's been to a worship service before, who understands what it's like to worship Almighty God. And he's putting two and two together, and things aren't adding up in his mind. He is subject to Abraham, his father. Just like Abraham is subject to God, his father. And so he cries out to his father, he calls out, and he says, My father. Abraham's response is, Here I am. And Isaac asks the question, Here's the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Father, we're missing something. An honest question. A fair question. Where is the lamb? I want to take a moment and pause for a moment. As you think about this question from Isaac. You found yourself, if you're a Christian here today, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you very likely found your place at one point understanding your sinfulness, and you just wondered, what do I do about it? What do I do about my sin? Where's the lamb? And by God's grace, his word unfolded for you and unraveled the confusion in your life to the point that you realize that what Abraham said is true for us today. Verse 8, he told his son, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. A lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Listen, you cannot find anything that will be enough to satisfy God's wrath for your own sin except for what God has provided for you, Jesus, his Lamb. I love how the New Testament and the Old Testament fit together. It should, right? All written by the same person. Because what did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so what we see here is Abraham's response to his son, the son who is asking him a very honest, real, raw question. As he points his son to God, he says, God will provide. I want to ask you a question. Why would he say that? Did he know what God's plan was? Did he have the foresight to know that there was going to be a ram in the thicket? Did God secretly send him a note and say, now, just go along with this, but I got this covered. I got a ram waiting. No. Abraham did not know, but yet he believed. He believed his almighty God and the promises that God had given to him. Because what did God say? I will raise up to you many nations, a mighty nation, through your son Isaac. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11 gives us a very interesting insight. It said of Abraham that he was a man of faith, and to the degree that he believed that even if he were to follow through with the sacrifice of his son, that God would raise his son from the dead. But I want to remind you something. God initiated this journey. God initiated his work in Abraham. And Abraham is believing God, and God accounts it to him for righteousness. And so, is there anything too hard for God? No, there's nothing too hard for God. And Abraham now is placed in the position of something that is absolutely hard. He responds to the call of God. Here I am. He responds to the call of his son. Here I am, my son. And in each place, he again believes God. Verse 9, they came to the place which God told him of. So Abraham, he built the altar. We're being human. We have these emotions, and God certainly has emotions too. But these human emotions just come out of us if we read this. Dads, you have son, you're building an altar, and God, there's no lamb around, and you're building an altar. You're building the altar, you're putting the wood on top. And I just can't understand. I don't know how this happened. But it's the text. He binds his son Isaac. And he lays his son Isaac upon the altar, upon that wood. The plan was to slay his son first before lighting the wood on fire. This was a burnt offering. So, can you see it? One step, the next step, even going was the first. Now, building the altar, putting the wood, God. And here I am, I'm putting this on Abraham. Perhaps he wasn't emotional about this. Perhaps he had this confidence that is just amazing. And perhaps that is true. But I think it's important for us to realize the challenge of what God has put before him. Because we remember this is a proving, a testing of him. And so therefore, Isaac is on the altar. The knife is raised up. And the third time, Abraham is called upon. Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham says what? Verse 11, here am I. Each time that there is a call forth for Abraham, he responds, here am I. Each time that call goes forth, there are details that are not filled in. There are hard things that are put before him in life. And his response is not, whoo, finally showing up, God. But his response is no, not like that. It's, here am I. Here am I. This response displays a submission to God and a belief saying, here, I'm where you called me to be. I'm doing what you wanted me to do. Here am I. Well, we know that the angel of the Lord says, lay not your hand, verse 12, upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, I don't believe that it just suddenly dawned on God that Abraham feared him. But I believe what is evident here is that through this test, through this proving, that it is made clear that Abraham is believing God. The evidence speaks such. James chapter 2, what does it say? Faith without works is what? It's dead. It's dead. And this account is evidence for us again of the reality of that statement in James. Faith without works is dead. And so, God does provide. God provides a ram in the thicket. And they take that ram and they offer him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And verse 14, Abraham calls the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Other way that has been translated is you shall see God provide. As it is on our wall, the Lord will provide. I thought it was up here, but I wasn't positive. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. Well, church, this is not a new passage to most of us. This is, in fact, something that we have been familiar with. And so as we wrestle with it today, here are some thoughts and application for us. Is God calling your name? Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Is God calling your name? Now, think about this. Are there people in your life that have got questions, that are struggling, and they're calling your name? And are you ready there to say, here I am? Are you ready to take that person? Are you ready to take that son, Isaac, and to say, listen, God will provide. God will make a way when we see no other way. Is God calling your name? Abraham, lay not your hand on your son. Is God saying, well done, I see evidence of your faith. The proving is real. The Christian life is not a cakewalk, and if you are entering into it in that mindset, listen, the Christian walk is not an easy walk. It's not meant or designed to be such. It is meant and designed to be a walk of faith that is very clear evidence of the Almighty God and His power and His work in and through people. And that's you and me. It's God calling your name today. It's God calling your name today and saying, listen, I have provided for you the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Won't you come to faith and believe in me? Won't you believe? Because we have sin in our lives, and the wage of that sin is what? It's death. So therefore, you are doomed, we are condemned to death unless we believe God's plan. We heed God's call. Won't you come to Jesus today? Jesus is the promised Lamb of God that God provided to pay for your sin and for mine. As I was wrestling through this passage, I was blessed by the name Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. The Lord will provide. And I wrote these words in my journal. I have no reason to doubt. And I have every reason to obey. Those are just my words, those are my thoughts, but that's how it hit me. I have no reason to doubt, but I have every reason to obey. Well, God, what a blessed and powerful message that you have given and spoken into my heart. And I stand here and I say, thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. And you know what? Before we wrap up our service with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you this question. Is God calling out to you today? And He's calling your name. Whatever the response might be, do you need to respond to the Lord in faith, in belief? You're a believer here today and you want us to pray that God would help you through some hard things in life? Would you let us pray for you? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. I want to it's a privilege to pray with you, understanding that there are hard things. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. God, thank you. Now I want to ask you this question too. You're here today and you're hearing God call your name because you see your sin. And today you are understanding and realizing that God has given and provided the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the only solution, the only payment for your sin. And perhaps today you want to believe, you want to take that step of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Is that you here today? Is God calling your name? Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's such a privilege to pray with these dear ones, Lord, and there are possibly many others. And myself, God, you're working in our hearts now. And my prayer, God, for those that are seeing some hard things in life, some things that are just seem impossible, Lord, we pray together as a body that you would carry these dear people along, that you would show and remind them again and again of your might and of your power. Lord, that they would obey your call. Lord, whatever it might be, they know, you know, God, may they walk in obedience without doubt. I pray for those, Lord, that God, you're working in their heart concerning salvation. You, Lord, you either confirming or perhaps today is the first time they have come to understand that you have provided the only way that sin can be paid for. The only way that someone could have eternal life is through you, Jesus Christ. And I pray for these dear ones that God, you would confirm in their hearts, would you affirm their faith and their belief, that God, they would see fruit of your presence in their life, and they would walk with great confidence in you. Oh God, I'm excited about your work, and I am excited that you will continue that work. In Jesus' name, amen.